Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. This is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Just an absolutely beautiful day to be in the combine, listen to the radio, listen to Farm Talk. Thank you for tuning in. We have temperatures climbing into the 70s. It's warmer here than it is down in Iowa, Nebraska, as we mentioned, southern Minnesota, low to mid 60s. And north of the international border, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, most have already dropped to the 50s. And we're going to get some of that weather overnight. It's going to blow in overnight tonight. So be prepared for big changes in the weather. We have some good news to talk about today, and part of it involves meat. Joe Shealy shares that in this week's U.S. Meat Export Federation report.
Legislation has been introduced in the U.S. Senate calling for increased funding for two USDA international market development programs designed to bolster U.S. agricultural exports. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom has more in this USMEF report.
There was an announcement here recently by a bipartisan group of senators proposing to increase funding for the market access program and a foreign market development program. These two programs have been critical tools to help build the red meat export demand over many, many years. And from our standpoint, this is really an important opportunity to add value long term for red meat exports. USMEF and all the government cooperators have been very appreciative of the support from Congress in general for these two programs. But the reality is that the base funding has been static. If you look at sequestration and inflation, et cetera, the real spending power has diminished over time. Thus, the reason to look at this seriously is an opportunity to get competitive in real dollar terms.
Hallstrom explains that these USDA programs complement the investment several sectors of U.S. agriculture make in expanding global demand for U.S. red meat.
These two programs really are a supplement to industry dollars that are invested each and every year in the U.S. exports. These industry dollars, the beef, pork, corn, and soybean dollars, the producer investments are really complemented by the MAP and FMD programs. And just to give you an idea of the payback over the years, there's been many studies done across all of the cooperator groups that get funding from these programs. And for every dollar invested, there's a net return of $24.50. And just for note, the U.S. beef and pork exports in 2022, we're forecasting them to be right around a $20 billion mark, which would be an all-time record. So you can see why this investment is just so, so important to the U.S. industry to keep us competitive.
For more, please visit USMEF.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Shealy.
Thank you very much. Also, regarding beef, last week, the White House had the Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health. National Cattlemen's Beef Association CEO Colin Woodall talks now about his perspective as an attendee at that conference.
Well, this is the first White House conference on hunger and nutrition in over 50 years. And it's important to look back at that first conference and what it gave us. And one of the things that came out of that first conference was the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. And as our members understand, every 5 years since, it has been a fight to keep beef in the center of the plate. So we went into today's conference with a healthy dose of skepticism on what we were going to hear. I will tell you, it was a bit of a mixed message for us. On one hand, we see some great opportunities here because they talked about the need for nutritious foods. And we know that beef fits that mantra, plain and simple. Nutrient-dense, healthy, we can cover all of those boxes. They also spent some time focused on evidence-based science as driving decisions. We also believe in evidence-based science. But unfortunately, there was quite a bit of talk about a move towards more plant-based systems. And as you can imagine, that is something that concerns us greatly, especially when it concerns things such as fake meat.
Now, Colin, this conference gives us an opportunity to think about some of those nutritional values of beef. How does beef fit into a balanced diet?
You know, you look at beef and across the board, the way we've been able to keep it in the center of the plate throughout every iteration of the Dietary Guidelines of Americans is by promoting the nutritional value, especially when it comes to B vitamins, zinc, for example, but also being able to show how lean beef in particular through studies such as the BOLD study, Beef and the Optimum Lean Diet, which was Chekhov funded, continues to just illustrate that nutrient density of our product is hard to beat. I believe in order to get the same amount of protein, you'd have to eat 6 cups of quinoa. So when you look at it, it makes beef a much better choice. And we have to just make sure we continue to promote it. We do a great job of promoting that. Again, that's why we've been successful in all of the previous dietary guidelines for Americans. We've got another one coming up here in 2025 that we have to get prepared for. And we just need to really lean on what the White House has been talking about in terms of evidence-based science in order for us to maintain that position. If they will stick to evidence-based science, then we know that we have all of the data, the material to support beef and optimum lean diet and beef's role in general in all diets. And so that's what we'll continue to fight for.
Now, on the topic of the Biden administration, we saw USDA release a new Packers and Stockyards rule. It's also being called the GPSA rule. What is in this rule that would impact cattle producers? Can you give us a little bit of background on this issue?
So most people will probably remember it as the GPSA rule, GPSA being the old Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration. It no longer exists, but we spent so long fighting that rule as the best way to get people's attention, because this is once again USDA coming in and trying to tell cattle producers how they can and cannot market cattle. But what's most concerning is just how broad this seems to be. It's very broad in scope, a little light in details. And anytime you have anything from a federal agency that is so broad in scope and light in details, you have to get worried because it goes back to what we have spent the past 2 years talking about. And that is, where is the appropriate role of government in cattle markets? We want the government to stay out of cattle markets. But at the same time, when it comes to the Packers and Stockyards Act, as it exists today, we think it does a good job. It just needs to be fully enforced. That's what we are focused on. Instead of trying to add more layers to this, let's enforce what we have, make sure it's fully staffed. And if we do that, then a lot of the issues that are popping up in this proposed rule are going to be ones that just aren't as important anymore.
So before you were CEO, you were the head of the NCBA DC office, and it seems like many of these same issues you dealt with when you were in Washington are coming up again and again, which brings me to WOTUS, Waters of the U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments in the case Sackett versus EPA on October 3rd. What is NCBA looking for out of this case?
We're definitely looking for a win on the Sackett side of this, because if we do, then I think it really does start to poke even more holes in this concept of Waters of the United States, WOTUS, as it was envisioned by the Obama administration. So we have been engaged in this case by filing a friend of the court documents and making sure that it's very clear how we feel about this. Because here we are, after all the work we did to fight back against the 2015 rule, here we have the Biden administration coming out and trying once again to bring WOTUS back. So any action, including the Sackett case, where our side, and that is the side of keeping the federal government from regulating every single ditch out there. If we can get a win on this, I think it would set just a really healthy precedent to help us continue to push back against the Biden administration's effort and hopefully any future efforts in regards to defining what is a water of the United States.
So one of the emerging issues, emerging threats to the cattle industry is coming from the Securities and Exchange Commission in the form of a really broad greenhouse gas and climate disclosure rule. Can you remind us again why this is such an issue for cattle producers?
This is an issue because this is mission creep. We just talked about the Packers and Stockyards Act and the proposed rule that's out there. The Packers and Stockyards Act is supposed to be out there regulating the marketplace. They have that role. We talked about WOTUS. EPA is out there. They're supposed to be regulating waters. The Securities and Exchange Commission is not supposed to be regulating greenhouse gases, but that's exactly what we are seeing. Their role is to regulate those publicly traded companies and the financial transactions between them. It's not meant to regulate greenhouse gases. They don't have the jurisdiction. They don't have the expertise. So this is, once again, an agenda-driven action by an agency to try to force more greenhouse gas regulations on all segments of the supply chain. And with this, especially if it covers Scope 3, it means that all of our greenhouse gas emissions as cattle producers are going to have to be passed up the chain as we sell our cattle. SEC needs to focus on Wall Street, not on Main Street, because their jurisdiction, their area of expertise is on financial markets. It's not on greenhouse gases. So that's why we're working so hard to drive that point home, to make sure that Gary Gensler, who's the chairman of the SEC, understands this is not where he needs to be. And we have quite a few members on Capitol Hill who've been very willing to step up and help us fight back.
Colin Woodall, CEO of National Cattlemen's Beef Association. All right, coming up on the bottom of the hour, we are going to take a break. Closing markets next here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. This is Farm Talk.